One more time, here we go. Right wingers need love too. We all need love. Indeed we do. Now you don't have to love my right wing point of view. But right wingers need love. Right wingers need love. Right wingers need love too.
On the important necessity of offending Muslims. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the very presence of mine enemies. That's from David, Psalm number 23. Friends, Romans, Kentuckians, all men of good will, also any Vulcans or Martians from the Church of All Worlds listening telepathically. Howdy, it's Lonesome Al Barger here on this blessed day of our Lord, Saturday, February the 23rd of 2013. Now I'll dispense with my usual opening stick of carrying on about my right-wing wickedness, because I'm in a particularly foul mood here anyway, and I'm a represent. I'm on the warpath today. I intend it to be only a purely rhetorical warpath, if our Muslim brothers will peacefully tolerate criticism, or we can play it other ways if they continue to insist. The world is always full of terrible troubles, but among other problems, half the world is in flames from crazy Islamists. Al-Qaeda is resurgent. Al-Qaeda has been flying their flag over our embassy in Egypt, much less their activities in Benghazi. It's the end of the world as we know it. And I, for one, feel fine. Arab Spring is in the air, and I'm here to explain to you why it is critically important to purposely offend Muslims. But first off, I should acknowledge that it seems like really in the big scheme our worst worries in the civilized world at this point are self-created financial woes from democracies voting themselves bread in circuses with elephants and big birds and such.
What? Leave me the hell out of this!
Sorry, Big Bird. Not while you're on the government teat. But besides Sesame Street, though, near the top of our list of pressing problems in the world that President Obama has to deal with are all things Islamic. In recent decades, Muslim rednecks have taken the lead in that billion-strong community, killing Americans, Westerners themselves, and, of course, Israelis and Jews, generally and frequently, preferably vulnerable civilian targets. I feel pretty cheerful, though, because good generally conquers evil, and light defeats the darkness, especially if the light is being projected by the laser sights of the U.S. military, or IDF, because Jews in Israel aren't going to let nuclear Iranians exterminate them, and the U.S. will not become a demi nation submitting to Sharia law under threat of violence, no matter how badly our own president hates us. Though many Westerners and even Americans seem only too willing to join him. We'll get back to that shortly. But at some point, the American public as a whole will not just lay down and die. Certain increasingly dominant strains of Islam have been threatening and carrying out deadly violence against Westerners in our own countries if we even just say anything they don't like, especially since the ascension of the infamous Ayatollah Khomeini in Iran in the 1970s and his fatwa on Englishman Salman Rushdie for his unreadable Satanic Verses novel. It's one small thing to the good that this fatwa remains unfulfilled 30-something years later. But Theo van Gogh, for one, was not so lucky and didn't even specifically require a fatwa to get horribly slaughtered in the street for being involved in a film critical of Islam. People in several countries were killed by crazed Muslims just a few years back because a Dutch newspaper commissioned a dozen largely benign cartoon images of their precious friggin' prophet. If you're just bound and determined to go rioting and killing, then the sun coming up is a perfectly good reason to kill a Jew. Then again, though, every Islamic government and Al-Qaeda-type group combined couldn't stand against Israeli Defense Forces, much less the U.S. military, plus other free countries in a bad enough pinch. Simply, primitive Muslim culture can't compete with superior Western or Asian ideas really in any area of human endeavor, spiritual, technological, economic, or military. Like Shakespeare, I must speak cruelly to do them the kindness of speaking truthfully. But then, just blowing stuff up and murdering people is a lot easier than building it. You can ruin something that you could never have built just because you and your primitive and shame-based culture could not have built it. That is the hatred of the good for being the good, in Ayn Rand's classic phrase, and that really goes to the root of a lot of Islamist motivation, whatever other excuses they make. You cannot honestly miss the point that Palestinians purposely and for generations have hurt themselves, suffering and dying just to spite the Jews and get sympathy. Poor things. But they prefer to bring suffering on themselves just for spite of the enemy, rather than to live or have anything but hatred to live for. Day after day, Palestinians en masse choose this path. Israelis put up with a lot, rather than just blast a lot of these vermin to hell as they could and probably should, and most likely will one day be forced to do just to survive. Americans, though, fortunately, are all in all a considerably less patient and forbearing lot than the Israelis. We generally don't like unnecessarily killing innocent people, but there is such a thing as necessary killing and unavoidable deaths of innocents in crazed societies that have to be subdued. Most Americans didn't feel too bad about carpet bombing Dresden in World War II or nuking the Japs. Nor do most Americans feel too put out over women and children killed, say, during drone attacks in Pakistan or Yemen on jihadist targets. By rights, the moral blame and the blood for most of that is on the hands of Islamists using their women and children as human shields, and the parents who allow their families to be used in this way. But Islamists have become fairly adept at cheesy psychological warfare that should not for a moment but does seem to work in some quarters. We've had a couple or three generations of Western academics reassessing things to figure out that the U.S. has been imperialistic, genocidal, and wicked all these years. Plus, we had slavery and Jim Crow. And granted, those were bad things. Still, while acknowledging our sins along with our much more major accomplishments, a big part of the country has always had what used to be the common belief between countrymen in American exceptionalism. On the whole, we believe rightly that the United States over our history has been honestly struggling to be that shining city on the hill. On the other hand, left-wing academics and useful idiots like Ron Paul have a good part of the country convinced or half-believing that we got jihadist terrorists owed to us. It's blowback in Ron Paul's terminology for our wickedness. Because the U.S. are big mean bullies, imperialistic or colonistic, we deserve it. According to Ron Paul, quote, "They're over here because we're over there." I would argue that he's basically got that backwards. This moral self-doubt makes many Westerners and even Americans unwilling to defend our liberties by force. There's some nasty combination at work here of anti-American philosophy and moral self-doubt giving excuse to cowardice in the face of physical threat. A lot of Americans and Europeans have accepted and internalized these feelings of moral inferiority, leading them to feel that we have no right to defend ourselves. That right there is the real threat. This is what St. Ayn Rand called the sanction of the victim. It is a moral cancer that leaves you unwilling and thus unable to defend yourself. There's a special kind of useful idiotism among some of the left-wing type networks like MSNBC. Some of their talking heads were eagerly ready to buy the Obama administration blame on a silly half-assed YouTube video almost no one, Western or Muslim, had ever heard of for the massacre of Ambassador Stevens and riots all around the Muslim world. Indeed, this filmmaker should be held accountable and prosecuted for something, for recklessly causing all this damage by making this film that he knew was just going to make them mad. I'm super serial. This was their argument, and their argument held sway. This guy is sitting in prison, the only person actually punished for the Benghazi murders that he had not a thing to do with. Islamists have thus figured out how to play that moral self-doubt to get away with substantially effectively censoring pretty much of the Western world, including now the United States. Local U.S. government officials arrested in America Nakula Basile for making an amateurish video critical of Islam and the false prophet Muhammad. This was certainly with the full support and encouragement of the Obama administration, which desperately wanted somebody to blame for their security failures in Benghazi. They conjured up some malarkey about it being a parole violation for him just to be on the internet. This is utterly illegitimate, even if the guy did have some kind of half-assed criminal record. This has nothing to do with that. They frog-marched the poor bastard for the Muslim world to see, an official act of submission. How is this even vaguely acceptable? By rights, Obama's support for this action alone should constitute an impeachable offense. Obama's probably got 3 or 4 impeachable offenses to answer for just in this Benghazi business last fall. I want to stop, though, for a quick note of praise to Google for resisting pressure to pull the Innocence of Muslims video from their YouTube service. Thank you. Earlier in this abominable administration carrying water for President Obama, General David Petraeus, commanding our troops in Afghanistan, asked publicly for a redneck Florida preacher, Terry Jones, not to practice his First Amendment right to burn a Koran, because it would put our troops in danger? Oh my God, was that a disgrace. We spend $1 trillion on a military and pay soldiers precisely to defend our basic constitutional rights, such as freedom of speech and religious expression. Before that, jump back just a couple of years again to riots in multiple countries killing hundreds of people in outrage over a Danish newspaper printing pretty innocuous cartoon images of Muhammad. And again there was Theo van Gogh. It's degeneracy and destruction with these people day after day, year after year. It is beyond absolutely disgraceful that there is U.S. government and general liberal social harassment to not provoke the Muslims by saying anything that any of them might decide to object to. And by object, I mean go crazy and start killing people. There is real fear throughout the Western world and all over America, even, that Muslims will go on yet another killing spree if anyone says anything they don't like. So, it is of great symbolic and also practical importance that the greatest satirist of our age, Trey Parker and Matt Stone of South Park, cannot show any kind of image of the Prophet Muhammad, not even a few seconds of innocuous silliness. The U.S. government doesn't formally forbid them or other publishers or broadcasters from publishing materials critical or disrespectful of Islam or Muhammad. But the Comedy Central Network really understandably does have to consider the very real possibility that their offices and employees will be brutally attacked if they cheese off Muslims. As a free American, I find this situation, all in all, to be simply unacceptable. It is unacceptable to have any part of the U.S. government coming down on free Americans for exercising their clear constitutional rights to self-expression. It is totally unacceptable to have someone like this, Reverend Terry Jones in Florida, being solicited by a high American military commander to not exercise his right to burn a Koran, and see this pastor set up to bear responsibility for the wicked actions of our enemies. And it is most certainly unacceptable for Americans on American soil to fear violent reprisals for any possible thing they might say about that gutter religion and that child-molesting, quote-unquote, prophet Muhammad. By their fruits ye shall know them, and this applies to Muhammad. The fruit of Islam is bitter indeed, from what I can see. He may be a prophet of Satan, the great destroyer, but obviously he was not a prophet of any creative spirit. Fortunately, though, those anti-American ideologies of the Iranian clerics, Ron Paul and Barack Obama, don't really hold sway with big chunks of the American public. Folks need to take Islam apart in public at will. Muslims must understand that in this country, people can say pretty much anything they want about any religion. It simply must be understood that this is a basic given here, and it is not negotiable. Also, I want to stop to send some love out to some brave French brothers, because Americans aren't the only people who will stand up against not just the threat, but the actuality of physical violence and intimidation. It's fun for us right-wing American nut jobs to make fun of France and all those French surrender monkeys that Brother Jonah Goldberg likes to make light sport of. But then there are the provocateurs of the French magazine Charlie Hebdo. In November of 2011, they published an edition with a cartoon of Muhammad on the cover, threatening 100 lashes if you're not dying of laughter, credited as guest edited by the Prophet Muhammad. Well, they would have published it, but that their offices were burned the day the edition was to be published. But just recently, in September 2012, as half the world was burning in Muslim riots, Charlie Hebdo director Stephen Charbonnier and his staff, by God, insisted on publishing an edition with cartoons representing Muhammad. Their cartoonist, known as Luz, has apparently been under police protection since last year, but these guys insisted on doing it anyway. Laurent Ledger of this magazine explains it thus, quote, "In France, we always have the right to write and draw. And if some people are not happy with this, they can sue us and we can defend ourselves. That's democracy. You don't throw bombs, you discuss, you debate, but you don't act violently. We have to stand and resist pressure from extremism," end quote. Now, there's some frogs with some gnats and some principles. Because some, but not all, Muslims, I acknowledge carefully, have behaved so badly and so thuggish and intimidating, it is of vital importance that free men and women make it emphatically clear that they do not get to censor us. Rather, instead, we must needs purposely confront Muslim intolerance with displays of criticism and blasphemy, big and small, against Islam and the false prophet Muhammad day and night. We need cartoons of Muhammad and his 6-year-old bride, Elisa. I've got several varieties of these on pinback buttons, refrigerator magnets, and keychains from Barger's Boutique at morethings.com. I commissioned a couple of original designs in that series. We, of course, also need more good scholarly analysis and criticism of Islam and the Prophet. We just as much, though, need more sophomoric YouTube videos. We need cheap cartoon blasphemies, and most definitely a high art piss Muhammad creation in a jar to display alongside the still apparently cutting-edge statement, "Piss Christ," with the artist's now decades-old urine on display in some unhygienic museum in New York. On the artistic lowdown, a few rednecks like Reverend Terry Jones should just absolutely go ahead and burn a few copies of the friggin' Koran. Indeed, have some Koran weenie roast and heat a few hot dogs over burning copies of the Koran. Not copies censoriously confiscated from libraries, but legitimately bought and paid for by the American patriots for firewood and kindling. This isn't censorship, but protest. Our purchases would also be a sort of hillbilly multiculturalism, supporting the Koran printing industry, which doubtless employs many Muslims or young Chinese worldwide. Most of all, though, we need to see Parker and Stone do a Broadway musical spoof on the Koran to go with their award-winning Broadway debut, The Book of Mormon. That's what I'm talking about. When Parker and Stone's Koran musical opens on Broadway without incident, then I'll figure to lighten up on the Muslims. This most particularly means that the U.S. government, all the way from the feds down, will have to rise up to the job of defending our liberties, because most certainly some of us patriots will push the point with these Muslim jerks. Even most weenie American liberals won't tolerate acts of jihad on American soil. In their hearts, pretty much everyone understands basic playground facts about dealing with bullies and thugs. In short, we must be adamantly and needfully rude to Muslim sensibilities to a point of establishing that criticizing the religion, the book, or the prophet has to be tolerated. And that means that I bloody well expect the U.S. government to hunt down and kill anyone who shows violent intent on not accepting that. This is simply not negotiable. With President Obama at the top at least wanting to bat for the other team, we the people will pretty much have to drag the government into doing their main actual legitimate job. Neither I nor anyone else really knows just how violent the U.S. or Israel will ultimately have to be in order that Muslims in general get the fear of the proper God in them. It doesn't seem like picking off even bunches of individual, especially bad actors, is getting the point across. We unfortunately had to drop nuclear bombs on the Japanese, but that definitely straightened out their thinking with a quickness. And hey, the Japanese 70 years ago were just as determinedly fanatic as Muslims, and far superior in knowledge, technology, and organization. So, yeah, all right then, I'm a jerk and a big old meanie for talking hateful about the Muslim religion and practitioners. Muslim brothers and sisters probably aren't really feeling the love from old Lonesome Al right about now, if there are any listening. I'm sort of half sorry about that. Some of you all don't deserve the purposeful disrespect I'm sowing. So then, let me carefully acknowledge that not every Muslim is a jihadist. Many Muslims seem to be perfectly nice Americans, bitching about their taxes and trying to get through traffic to get to work on time. A lot of Muslims worldwide are surely perfectly nice people who are friendly or, at worst, indifferent towards us. This may well be a majority of Muslims in the world. It's just that fairly significant, very violent minority that the civilized world has beef with. Plus, of course, within that, you have a billion different individuals all over the world who either are believing Muslims or have cultural or national ancestry to Muslim lands or nations. There are different places and races and backgrounds and levels of education involved. So there certainly are some good Muslims. Every day in my job, I talk to at least one or two fellows named Muhammad, and they generally seem to be about the same as any other customers on the phone. Some of them appreciate a little customer service. Some of them are in a big hurry and can't talk, and some just don't want to be bothered. But you know, most white people in the American South in the Jim Crow era were not members of the Klan. But they were rightly held morally culpable for tolerating that wickedness amongst them. Likewise for modern Muslims. If you are a brother or sister of goodwill and you don't want to get tarred with that bad brush, then you need to do whatever you can to help tamp down the wickedness. maybe it's finding some of the nice parts of the Quran to talk about with your more agitated Muslim brethren, and just generally demonstrating a proper godly attitude. Or maybe it's a discreet phone call to proper authorities regarding someone who seems to be actually physically dangerous so they can be dealt with before they break stupid. Now, if you're one of the good ones, and you're doing your best to be a good neighbor, I hereby apologize if my blasphemy by your lights hurts your feelings. But I ask you to recognize fairly what we're facing from some of your countrymen or Islamic brethren. Thus, I offer to you my humble apology for any insult and ask that you disregard it as not intended for you if you are of friendly intent. I don't mean you, and I don't mean your Allah. Plus, I'll understand and accept if you want to get mad and cuss old Al a little bit. Hey, I probably got it coming anyway. Other than that, though, it is hereby open season on trash talking Islam back here in Hillbilly Holler, because y'all are going to have to learn to tolerate people saying things you don't like, even if you got to learn that in a rude and bloody way. On a related note of speaking up in the face of oppression, I want to send love and prayers out to a couple of nice Russian girls, Maria Alyokina and Nadezhda Tolokonikova. Their punk rock performance group Pussy Riot are dissidents against President Vladimir Putin and also against the Russian Orthodox Church for being, in their view, complicit in his criminality and cruelty. Last year, Pussy Riot crashed a church service to perform a little anti-Putin rant. A few weeks ago, these two girls were sentenced to 2 years in a Russian prison camp for that act. Legacy facilities from the infamous Soviet gulags. These girls have literally been sent to the gulag for criticizing Putin. May God bless and protect them, and forgive me if I've mispronounced any French or Russian names here. Finishing up then in the gratitude corner, I want to just thank Allah for the beautiful spring that you can feel coming closer in these late winter days here at home on the farm. I'm grateful for Navy SEALs, past and present, who take on some of the hardest, most dangerous, and critical work of our nation. And I'm thankful for cranky artistic Jews like Bob Dylan, particularly for writing Neighborhood Bully. God bless and protect him and those supposed bullies. Out here in the turnip patch, we ain't afraid of no boogeyman. Because like I'm always telling my young nephew James, if I see the boogeyman, I'm going to say, "Boogeyman, you best get in that kitchen and make me a sandwich." And the boogeyman will be all, "Yes, sir, Brother Al." Because the boogeyman must bow before the righteous. Let's close then as we open with the Psalms of David, this time girding his mind for the battles to come as king in Psalm number 58. The righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked. And amen.